Welcome to another Community Guide audio segment. I'm John Anderton, and today we're speaking with Jonathan Fielding, Chair of the Community Preventive Services Task Force, founding member of the U.S. Clinical Preventive Services Task Force, and Distinguished Professor of Health Policy and Management and Pediatrics in the Fielding School of Public Health and the Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles. Let's start with the basics. Dr. Fielding, tell us about your interaction with the Community Guide. How did you get started with that?
I got started with the Community Guide before it got started. I was a member of the Clinical Preventive Services Task Force that started in the mid-80s, and I saw how important that direction was to really look at what we knew worked and what we weren't sure of and to be able to separate them. And so it was clear that the same thing needed to be done at the community level for populations, what works, what doesn't work in the way of policies, programs, systems. So when there was an opportunity to help guide the beginning of the Community Guide, that was the idea of David Satcher, I was more than willing to try and help, and I was a founding member of the task force.
What do you see as the primary value of evidence-based decision-making?
How could one ever make decisions without evidence? I don't know in our daily lives how we make decisions without evidence, but unfortunately, in many cases, with both clinical medicine and in more prevention and public health, we're flying blind. We don't have the data, and in many cases, the data is there, but it hasn't been aggregated sufficiently so that people are clear what their choices are, and not only what works, but what's the relative cost of different opportunities.
Changing gears for just a little bit, how would you describe the work of the task force to colleagues who are completely unfamiliar with the Community Guide?
I hope there are very few people in public health that don't know about the Community Guide, but unfortunately the public doesn't know quite enough about it. And what we basically do are rigorous systematic reviews of policies, programs, and systems that can improve the health at the population level. So one way to think about it is that clinical medicine is more retail. It's for individuals, public health, and what the Community Guide focuses on are the populations. And we're particularly concerned about the populations that are disadvantaged, and we want to strive for more equity in terms of health.
What do you see are the real strengths and benefits of the Community Preventive Services Task Force?
I think it's a great national resource because what it does is it tells all of us, both in public health and community leaders, elected leaders and the like, what works to improve health at the population level what are the areas where we need more research to try and understand that better. There's some areas where we know a lot, other areas where we have a lot to learn.
So how long have you been a member of the task force?
I've only been a member for 20 years from the time it started. In 1996. So, and I've been chairing it, I guess, for over a decade. It's been a real, very, very important activity in my life, and I always prioritize around it.
What's one thing that you've always wanted to accomplish with the task force?
What I think we've always wanted to accomplish is to give those who are on the front lines the ability to choose from evidence-based opportunities the ones that are going to work best for them in their milieu, with their resources, with their barriers. So providing basically the tools for decision makers at the local, state, and national levels is what we do, and that's exactly what we've been trying to accomplish.
Tell me, what's one most memorable review that you've worked on?
They're all great reviews, but I'm particularly interested in ones that cross sectors. In other words, we're looking now at how much benefit in terms of health and related quality of life can accrue from having remedial programs in math and in English for kids in K through 12 to get them back on track, because we know that that's going to increase the likelihood that they graduate, which means it's easier for them to get a good paying job, which means they're going to make more money, which means their health is going to be better. So the things that help those that are unfortunately disadvantaged get back in the mainstream are particularly important.
Has there been a particular finding or discussion where you've thought, wow, this is really going to make a difference?
Well, you hope that every decision you make in terms of a recommendation is going to make a big difference. We did a whole suite of of reviews in the area of alcohol and alcoholism and trying to minimize the terrible toll that that takes. I think that's one of the ones that I think is particularly important. But all the ones, whether it's increasing physical activity or whether it's team-based care to reduce the toll of diabetes, et cetera, they're all important, but they're all important for different reasons and to different constituencies.
What would you consider to be your legacy from your 20-year involvement with the task force?
What I hope is going to be remembered is that this was a lot of difficult work in the very beginning, trying to develop the right methods to get all those who are in charge of implementation to think of the guide as really an important tool for them. And my hope is over time that this will become just standard practice, that people, before they decide what to do next to improve health, they say, well, let's take a look at the guide and let's see what it tells us.
I'm sure you get this question a lot, but can you please explain the differences between the roles of the task force, CDC, and the community guide branch at CDC?
The task force is a non-federal volunteer group of 15 experts on community health and education, on epidemiology and biostatistics and particular areas of interest such as nutrition or physical activity, who come together, and they have a staff, and the staff that they have work for the CDC. But the task force is not federal and not part of CDC, and totally it gets to make its own decisions, and everything it does is in the open. So all the meetings that we have are open to the public, and they can see exactly how we make decisions. The community guide staff under CDC are really expert staff people who have the kind of skills to do these methodologic difficult analyses and give us, in fact, options for recommendations. And then we go back and massage them and get it to the point where the task force is satisfied. And the task force, not the CDC, not the guide staff, then make recommendations.
Tell me, what do you think is going to happen next or in the future with the task force?
My hope is that the other federal agencies that share the interest we have in improving the health of everybody in the United States will become even closer allied to what we do and even be able to provide more support, and that the liaisons we have from all the clinical organizations, public health organizations, prevention organizations, that their decisions and their strengths will be amplified by what we can do to assist them.
Dr. Fielding, thank you for talking with us today about the Community Guide.
This was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
For more information about the Community Guide or the Community Preventive Services Task Force, visit thecommunityguide.org. This is John Anderton, and you've been listening to a spotlight from the Community Guide.